This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey everybody, we're here joined by my wife, Elby.
I'm not your wife.
Here you are.
Okay, hi.
Hey, so what's Elby stand for? Long bottom? Lanky britches?
Yes.
Lanky britches, everybody. Elby is short for lanky britches. So, what did we just watch?
Lobster bisque.
We didn't watch lobster bisque.
That's what Elby stands for.
Oh, what did we just watch?
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of Dr. Doom.
No.
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of Morning Glory.
No.
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Moonbeams.
No.
No. Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam.
Yes.
Hey, Vern, I just saw this movie. It's called Dr. Otto and the Riddle of Gloom Beam. It's about this guy named Dr. Otto, and he has this Gloom Beam. It's this thing that zaps computers, and it's got a monster called the Dump, and it's got Slave Willie. It's this robot, and there's pirates, and it's just neat, especially the part I'm in. Do you know, Vern, I think you'd enjoy it a whole lot better if you went to see it at the theater.
Okay, so...
What is this movie?
It's an Ernest movie. It's the first Ernest movie. Ernest
like,
P. Worrell.
Like the importance of being earnest?
Yes, a Merchant Ivory film starring Jim Varney.
I would love to see that.
No time in for...
Yes.
Yeah, everybody listening out there, I'm assuming that the people who would listen to podcasts aren't over the age of 40, honestly. And are mostly, like, in their 20s, and they're all, like, millennial business people with their lattes and their scarves and their balaclavas running around being all like, I'm a courier, I'm moving on up.
They're Greek desserts?
Yes. Yeah, whatever. Yes. They're in the city. They go to delis.
And they're falafels.
And they're falafels, yes. And so I assume you guys don't really know too much about, it's probably an incorrect assumption because you're all nerds, about characters. We don't have characters anymore. We don't have television shows or commercials or things that are just one character. There was Pee Wee Herman. You guys remember that, because that's like the first and foremost godfather of all characters, even though he's not. Ed Grimley.
Mm-hmm. I gotta work quick, I must say.
Super Dave.
Super Dave.
Who else do
Pitter Patter, my heart.
Super Dave was born!
After Super Dave, who do you have?
I don't know, I mean, I think
you have the Canadian brothers.
I'm Bob McKenzie, this is my brother Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Right. Well, I was thinking of wrestlers. I mean, like Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
Mm, yeah, Hulk Hogan, I remember way back when the mega powers were bonded.
Yeah. I loved you like a brother. Macho Man, I meant it, brother.
That doesn't really apply.
That doesn't apply. Like, the only thing they have in common with these characters is that they have a cartoon.
Right.
Like, rock and wrestling. Ed Grimley.
I must say.
Ernest was one of these guys, and where I first became aware of Ernest was in the 80s. After I moved to Southern California in 85, it was just these car commercials where he was shilling for Toyota or something. But it was like a local sort of thing.
You know, I don't have a lot of memory of Ernest, to be honest. I did not watch his movies. I mean, I know of the character. I know the catchphrase.
You haven't seen a single movie of his?
I really haven't. I mean, I've seen parts of them. I don't have any childhood memories of Ernest at all. Like, really at all. I remember Jim Varney was on The Simpsons.
As himself?
Yeah. Well, he played a carny.
Oh, because Jim Varney was kind of a carny. Or that's, I don't know if he was really a carny, but played a carny in a movie that I like called Wilder Napalm.
Oh, right.
He was a supporting character in that movie.
It right.
Had one of the Quaid brothers. Quaid!
Yeah.
Had, what's his name? Not Randy.
Dennis!
Dennis! Neither of those names are good. Randy and Dennis.
Those are totally white trash names.
Yeah. Randy. Randy Quaid, that name doesn't really look like Randy Quaid looks, but Dennis Quaid doesn't. He's the handsome one. Sorry, Randy, but he's the handsome one, and he doesn't look like the name Dennis either. But that's a side note. But Jim Varney did these Ernest commercials, and that's all he did that I knew of.
Were they local or?
Yeah, it felt like it was local, but what I think they did is they hired out the character. He's not a local to Southern California.
Well, I would like to know. I'm going to look this up right now, but I would like to know where Jim Varney got his start. It wasn't commercials, apparently. In 1980, he was in a commercial for an amusement park in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah, that was Ernest.
Yeah, the character of Ernest.
That's 1980. That yeah. Goes all the way back. It's like Pee Wee.
Oh, right. He was in the Purity Dairies.
Purity Dairies.
I guess you figured out that my own special interest group, Purity Lovers, has rallied in support of me, Ernest P. Worrell, for president. And when I'm living in the White House, Vern, my cabinet will be full of those guaranteed purity products. And speaking of living in the White House, Vern,
I think I'll get Ronnie on the horn and find out where that fuse box is. Or if there's any septic tank problems or anything like that. A hail to the chief, he's your buddy and your neighbor.
Purity Dairies is a local dairy to Nashville. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but I used to live in Nashville. And
so did I.
I used to call Purity Dairies every other day because I had to get their ice cream delivered to my ice cream shop. So anyway, that makes me happy because I'm just calling Purity, I guess. But anyway, Jim Varney was from White House, Tennessee. That's where he grew up, which is just outside of Nashville. So It makes sense that he would do Purity Dairy. Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense, right?
Yeah, he did all these commercials and he hooked up with this guy, John R. Cherry III. This guy is the director of every single Ernest movie, which I never expected that. I thought Ernest was just like Pee-wee, where it was just like move the actor per director. Like Pee-wee's Big Adventure was done by Tim Burton. The next one was done by, I don't know, because it was a crappy movie. So this movie...
It's the first Ernest movie, but no one knows about it.
It's own... Yeah, oh, actually, Dr. Monster knows about it. That's an illustrator. I don't know if he wants his full name given out, but look up Dr. Monster. It's pretty rad stuff. He knows about it, and he's embarrassed by this movie.
I would be too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to say that I did not like this movie.
I will go on record and say I didn't like this movie either. However, there are things in it that made me laugh.
I agree, and...
Because you witnessed me laughing.
Yeah. One thing about this movie that... Okay, so I didn't realize that Jim Varney actually had such a command on his voice and his abilities to do character work. Like, I kind of just assumed that he was a one-note kind of guy doing that, like, you know, good old boy.
Right, so like when you see Pee-wee...
Yeah.
Do two different characters in the same year or something, like Buffy. Not in the same year, but mm-hmm. Buffy, he was this one-armed guy with scraggly long hair, and he
right.
was just like, bleh. That's like, what? And
yeah.
then he plays like Oswald Cobblepot's dad, who is not a speaking role, but he totally takes a different form.
Right.
It's mind-altering. You go, wait, that was Pee-wee?
Right, right.
But so, you never noticed that Ernest played all these other characters
well,
and his stuff?
I knew about the old lady.
Yeah.
With the neck brace.
Right.
I knew about her. I've seen her before, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It just never occurred to me that... It's not like I was like, oh, he is only Ernest, but like...
To be honest, I never saw anything other than him as Ernest and him as the old lady. Other
right.
than the movies where he starred as a bit character, like I mentioned, Wilder Napalm, he was a carny.
Yeah.
So, this guy, John Cherry, directed this movie, and I believe he wrote all of them. All the Ernest movies? All the Ernest movies, with, of course, Jim Varney. And this movie, the premise is this. Ernest changes shape by stepping into a changing coffin?
Yeah, they call it the changing coffin.
And then he turns into a mad scientist with a hand on his head, which
yeah.
is actually kind of funny. Mad scientist wants to take down the economy of at least the United States, but pretty much the world. Fight Club, you know.
Yeah, way. Yeah, he's a crazy person doing Project Mayhem, and he starts by pinpointing Cincinnati, which he calls the financial capital of Southern Ohio.
Yeah.
So,
see, there are some jokes here. The financial folks send this guy, what's his head, Sterling's his last name, and he's supposed to be some sort of swashbuckling He-Man hero guy
yeah.
who's actually really preppy and not exactly effeminate, but he's a big sissy.
I would think of him as like a pipsqueak if he wasn't...
If he wasn't built like
a
man. He was built like a man, but his motivation seems to be driven not with quivering fear, but like he's a brat about things. So they send him to find and stop Dr. Otto, who broadcasted this crazy riddle.
When all the world's karma will be put in a bind from the evil that lurks where the sun never shines, it is I, Dr. Otto von Schnick, who is plagued on you, this trick,
I don't even know what that riddle is.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. I think they saw Pee-wee and said,
this Pee-wee is almost like a bunch of skits strung together.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we do something like that?
Except Pee-wee was written by Phil Hartman. It's
written by really capable people.
It's not just a bunch of skits thrown together.
Yeah.
It actually has a through line. And at the very end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, they make fun of the entire movie in a fake movie, which this movie seems seems like they all just focused on the fake movie part of Pee-wee and said, let's try to replicate that. Now, this is just my theory. I don't even know. Okay, describe Dr. Otto.
Okay, so he is earnest with dramatic makeup.
Like, so shadows on his faces are pronounced through makeup.
Yeah. Okay, so imagine, like, football pads, like shoulder pads.
Yeah, they're football pads.
Okay, so there's, like, shoulder pads covered in kind of a shiny, dark fabric with fake flowers coming out of it. And when I say flowers, I mean like floral arrangement, pussy willows.
Yes.
Like these like sticks that are twisted and stuff, and they have little, you know,
fuzzy bits on them.
And they're going everywhere. And he has, for some reason, a hand on top of his head that just lays on top of his head. Kind of like you can see the fingers on his forehead. And
they drape across.
And they move a little bit sometimes. But we don't know how this hand is attached to him.
Nope, no idea.
It could be like a dark backward situation where it's like growing out of his
back. This is why I love my lady. She knows the dark backward. Even against her will, she still knows the dark backward and knows how to reference that thing.
Right, or it could just be like, what is it, thing?
Yeah.
And just like the
separate, disembodied hand.
Yeah, that's just like sitting there. We have no idea. It's not really addressed, but
well, it seems to be attached to him along his neck. The back of his neck. It just seems that way because there are certain scenes where it's obviously a fake hand and he can't have the person behind him operating the real hand. But it's expressive if you've seen the TV show The Tick, where his antennae do a lot of expressiveness.
A secret message from my teeth!
Where Patrick Warburton is Warburtoning and then his antennae go, oh, I see. And they move with the oh, I see. Well, his fingers in this move very much the same way.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought might be kind of uncomfortable for the person standing behind him. Like, the entire time I was thinking that I would hate to be that person who has to, like...
Well, you're that close to somebody. You're gonna have... farts.
Well, I was just thinking about the position that you have to be in, crouched yet reaching up at the same time.
But you're also probably just laying your hand on him, so it's not probably uncomfortable for both people. Less comfortable for Jim Varney for having the pressure of whoever the guy is.
It feels like someone broke an egg on his head.
Yeah, all the time, cracked.
All the time.
Egg. So.
And he talks in an accent. He talks in this weird European accent.
Yeah, like sort of German.
Yeah, Austrian.
Germanic. It's just Germanic.
Fine.
I don't know. He doesn't sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought you were Henry Higgins.
What? From Magnum P.I.
No.
Higgins.
No.
What?
Like every girl is rolling their eyes at you right now.
Now see here. I've taken all the verbal insults I intend to from you.
Who's
from
Henry?
From My Fair Lady and Pygmalion.
Oh. Why would I?
And
the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Yeah.
I see. No.
Because he knows accents. He knows specific accents.
Right. Okay. But I'm also thinking Higgins from Magnum P.I. because the name Higgins. And that guy knows accents too.
Does he?
Magnum, come into the room. I have something to talk to you about.
And then, in a totally different movie, he's like,
I'm a southern gentleman, and I'm going to shoot you in the face.
And it blew my mind when I saw that.
Really?
Yeah, like what? Is he a normal? Wait, he can do different accents? My little mind as a kid was like, yeah.
Was he also the voice of Kit?
No, Kit's voice.
Hello, Michael.
Is the principal from Boy Meets
Squirrel. Oh, that's right, Squirrel.
Yeah, that's the show I want to watch. Boy Meets Squirrel.
It's true.
Yeah. So this movie is a mess. It's a terrible, terrible, horrible mess. But what makes it so weird is everything. It's shot in a very strange way.
I like the edits, actually. I like how there's like news footage spliced in.
Yeah, and some of
it's like... to show you how crazy the world has gone since the banks collapsed.
Yeah.
In Denmark, the national sport of cheese wrestling was suspended indefinitely when the price of a single small Gouda rose to 150,000 kolotniks.
Yeah.
And the streets are empty and there's looters.
And there's like cool techno music.
And there's no reporter. And then it cuts back to the lady is saying that was financial news.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's clever stuff like that. Everything does seem like they're skits, though.
Yeah, okay, so Jim Varney plays like 17 different people in this movie.
Well, he plays a mercenary.
He plays every character in this movie.
Dr. Otto has two or three ladies at any given time surrounding him. And they're like disco... rock and roll, MTV, music video, fishnet girls.
I thought they were kind of punk rock. The blonde is very just like I don't give a crap about anything.
Yeah, well, they dress in various different ways throughout the movie, too. Like,
yeah. Well, they fit the motif of the main character that Barney changes into.
And this also doesn't make sense because at the end, it's like mini bosses. He plays, he's the big boss, and he plays all the mini bosses as well. At the end of it,
they're all there together.
They're all there in the same scene together.
So it's like clones. Fighting.
Yeah, it's like they're clones. It's very strange.
Yeah.
If you think of this movie like it's an odd video game, it might work.
Maybe.
But the colors are garish, which is actually a plus.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of miniature stuff, which is weird, especially when there's a stone hand that's on top of the compound that he lives. It's
it's like Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, it's like Castle Grayskull, but it's like Castle Many Grayskulls. Lots of gray stone skulls. But on top of it is a hand. But at first, and it makes sense that it's a hand on top of a skull because it's mimicking him. At first, it doesn't look like a hand.
It looks like a penis.
Hey, watch it. Don't say the factual term for male reproductive organs. Not on this rated PG show. Okay, go ahead and say it.
Penis.
All right. There. Got it out of the way. Yeah, it does. The very first time, especially, I said, hey, is that a...
penis.
Which, actually, that's something that happens in the show that's funny. Varney as the mercenary character, which is a...
he's Australian?
Oddly Australian guy.
He has a funny mustache that is obviously fake.
Spirit gummed on his nose. Under his nose. Not on his nose. Who has a mustache on their
you
nose?
You do.
I do not. He doesn't know certain things to say as he's saying them, so the tall blonde that's with him inserts... she just says that one word.
Call this.
Ready.
Tommy scum in the...
guest.
Room over there. We'll play a few little games with it.
Ready.
Red rumps, what?
And then he continues talking. There's that joke that's pretty funny. The first two times that it happens.
Right, and then she just ends up saying ruddy the entire time.
Yeah, like the last time that the joke is reprised, she says ruddy for like five times in a row or something.
And it's like, okay. That's
you got it, got it, got it.
I get it.
Got it, got it, got it. It's a really weird movie though. I can't really show you. It's a hard movie to find. You might be able to find clips.
Yeah, maybe. So it's okay if we talk all about it.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
The second character...
it's a pirate, and that part of the movie just seems completely needless to me. Like, I really wish it was just cut all out. It was just... I don't
see
any sort of point.
I don't either. So the heroes escape the mercenary who is teaching a bunch of survivalist children how to kill.
Yeah, it's like a crazy scout camp. It's like Moonrise Kingdom, but for psychotic scouts.
Militia-minded children, boys. And then they escape that, and then they come upon a pirate?
Holding a lady hostage.
We wouldn't want her to wiggle free and miss me chances of catching that living, breathing, stinking scourge of the wetlands known as the dump.
None of it makes any sense. It's just Jim Varney can do a pirate voice. So
right,
they're
basically.
Like, do a pirate scene. Well, what's the pirate scene? So they write this thing that doesn't at all fit.
And then there's, like, right after that, so they rescue the girl, and right after that, there's this weird trash monster.
Oh, right. It's set up. Jim Varney, as the pirate, says something about
the dump.
Whatever that is. In this scenario, his enemy is the dump. I don't know what that means.
Right. Poo-poo.
Yeah, poop, trash. Well, it's like the Fraggle Rock trash monster without being a puppet. It's just a man covered in trash with goggles on, basically.
Yeah,
and you can't see his face.
I think also Jim Varney did the voice
He did the voice for that guy. Yeah. It was just a taller dude.
He was
kind
of cute, actually.
It's just a taller guy wearing goggles.
Uh-huh.
And the goggles have, like, inflated baggies as the eyebrow ridge and whatever. So it's just a swamp monster or something.
Yeah.
And that's it. He helps them out because for some reason he knows the hero, which is supposed to be the joke.
Yeah, they
go way back.
Like, there's this kind of secret thing.
He's not secret. He said, I pulled something out of his paw and it ended up being a magnet.
Oh.
Is what he said. So it's that old tiger-lion thing where he pulls a thorn out of the lion's paw and now the lion likes you. Doesn't eat you.
Right, but it's an awkward
conversation. It doesn't work. None of it works. None of that works. They escape, and then the next one they run into is
Auntie Nelda.
Nelda, and she lives in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house.
Yeah, but in Tennessee.
You don't know what it means to me to have company. Me, a tired old woman with a dead son who is no longer alive.
Tennessee Chainsaw Massacre house. Now, there is a robot in this, and I do like the robot.
Oh, yeah, the robot.
Dr. Otto makes flashbacks about his youth. He has a really crummy Christmas because his parents are pieces of human garbage, and he's jealous. This is the whole motivation of him fighting Sterling guy. He's jealous of Sterling's
perfect
Republic.
Life.
Absolutely jealous of it. So this is his motivation for taking down the finance.
Like his entire life. Motivation for his entire life is to destroy this guy.
So he makes this robot.
In high school.
This is a flashback, and it's pretty great, actually. And the high school science fair has all these really stupid science projects. Like, they're dumber than me when I was in school and not doing science. Because I went to a private school that didn't teach me science. There were other kids that were taught.
I was going to ask you what your science project was.
Later in college, tornadoes.
Tornadoes and you.
No, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
It was like community college, so it was basically high school.
Well, here's how cool I am. My science project was phases of the moon and how they affect behavior.
Oh, right. Well, you certainly know about that by now. Being a grown woman.
Are you talking about menstruation?
Yes.
Okay.
Full moon, full monster. She's a werewolf.
Woof.
Werewolf. Okay, jokes. Jokes, people. The science projects.
They're funny. They're funny.
Here's the funniest one. Furnace filters.
Alliteration.
Volcanoes and... we couldn't see what it said. How dogs bark.
Mm-hmm.
Clouds and weather. X-ray. Vision for industry. Okay, now we're actually going to get to the good ones. Gravity is your friend. Wheels. Big and small.
And it's just wheels on the table. Big wheels and small wheels. Well, not big wheels like the, you know...
Not the kids' toy
tricycle,
or the... Yeah.
The actual wheels on the table.
Rocks I have known. Why men are smarter, rats are smart too, and pork through the ages. What's your favorite?
I think I like rocks I have known.
And that's the incorrect answer. The correct answer is I don't have any idea.
Pork through the ages?
Your answer is absolutely correct for you. I am torn between pork through the ages and rocks I have known.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's probably my favorite part of the movie, also because there's a robot rampage and the robot rampages really violently and his body language is very fun.
Why don't you describe how the robot looks?
All right, the robot looks very much like what you might see in a very ambitious junior high production of a Christmas play about Jesus and toys. When I was a kid, I played a robot in a play. It wasn't junior high, it was pre-junior high. I was a tween, pre-tween, and I played the robot. And the toys, there was like a dolly, a teddy bear, a this, a that, and a robot. I could do the robot. Pop-locking, breakdancing, you know? I could do the robot very well. So they put me in this box with dryer tubes for my arms. This box that covered all of my head with this little hole that I'm supposed to project out of. And I couldn't because it's so loud inside because it's blocking my
mouth
passage. And it's a huge box around my torso so that any and all robot movements are obscured. So you just see this wobbling robot. If I hadn't had that on, I would have been, you know, they would have said that guy knows how to do the robot. Instead, there was a kid in a box.
Weaving back and forth.
Now, the robot in this movie doesn't quite look that bad. He has actually fitted to his body. So it's more like the robots on the Bill and Ted movie, except not even that cool. It's all silver, kind of a Tin Man look.
Yeah.
He has a bucket on his head, and on the bucket...
Is an emoji.
Really, before emojis, it was just a big smiley face most of the time. And then in certain scenes where he was upset or angry or scary,
it would reflect that face. It would reflect
that. That's my favorite character in this, actually. Sorry.
The robot.
Varney.
I liked Dr. Otto's outfit in high school. He was wearing like his normal like shoulder pads.
Yeah, the football thing. But would they have sort of spiky things, antenna sticking out of them?
Yeah, but he was wearing a Letterman sweater over it and like...
It's really stupid.
Like dorky plaid pants.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And dorky glasses. It was really funny, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff where he says...
His ability to understand spoken commands and the vocabulary of nearly 700 words, such as...
Attack me! Search and destroy! Dora, Dora, Dora!
It's really funny. After that, Auntie Nelda. After that, there's one other, and it's ridiculous because it's kind of redundant. It's like a 30s gangster.
All right, I completely block that out.
Right, because it's another useless one. A 30s gangster where they're running around an abandoned
warehouse.
Sort of a warehouse. Like or
a
an
dance
office.
Studio.
Yeah. It's just like concrete floors and warehouse windows, and they're running around that and shooting lasers and crap at them.
Yeah.
Sorry about that Senate seat, Lance.
My dad bought me a seat.
So this is all why I mentioned Pee-wee's Big Adventures, because it reminds me a little bit of the end where Josh Brolin's dad, James Brolin, is Pee-wee, P.W. Herman.
I kind of remember.
P.W. Herman, there's a telephone call at the front desk.
I haven't seen that.
It's literally the funniest scene in the movie, because okay. Pee-wee is trying to be in every shot that he can be in as a walk-on role in his own movie. And it's the funniest scene.
This is how cool I am. I remember things about The Dark backward, yet I don't remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, that's how cool she is.
Yeah.
Cool points go to her. So, I think we're at the end, basically. Yeah,
I don't even know how it ends. How did it end? I stopped paying attention.
This
movie
ended.
Tried my patience so much that I was just like, you know what, forget it. I am going to play my dots game and just forget it.
Oh, that's what you were doing. It ended where the hero rescues the girl that wasn't really even a part of the plot. Has his girl Friday also with him, and they're pushing the car, and they push it to a gas station,
right.
And they're looking for gas, and the economic collapse has in fact worked.
So there's no gas.
There's no gas, there's no oil, the banks are shut down and everything, and Jim Varney...
He's earnest again.
We ain't had any gas since the money went bad. No dinero, no petrol. Comprendo?
Or is he? He's not earnest again, because at the end he sends them on their way.
Bye-bye, y'all. Have a nice day.
Know what I mean?
And he takes off his hat, and there's a hand under his hat.
So, oh my god, what if Ernest is really Dr. Otto, the entire career of Ernest?
Really?
What? Does he ever take off his hat, you guys? Do you know?
Please email us at ErnestHandHatHead.
Hotmail.rocket.
Okay? That's our new email for this show.
Ernest Hat Hand Head. Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna say, for crazy masochists out there that
so absolutely love bad movies, man.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. I mean, I did. I don't necessarily love bad movies, but soft spot in my heart for Ed Wood, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space sort of things, but I don't see myself watching this movie ever again.
Nope, not even to show anybody. Like, I don't care.
It's not quite as enjoyable as, say, The Room might be if you show The Room to somebody. I've seen The Room twice.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah. So, there. This one I don't think I'm going to revisit anytime ever.
No. So. Thumbs down.
Yeah, not fun.
Dr.
But it absolutely is super weird.
It's weird. There are okay things about it.
Basically, it's an experiment to see if they could even do anything with the Ernest character, mm-hmm. I think. Or with Jim Varney. Maybe
right.
It seems almost like all these things should be cut up and thrown on YouTube as bits. And then he gets a job after that doing a full thing.
he works on SNL now.
So that's it for us.
Hey, I like Jim Varney.
I do too.
That's one
sweetheart
thing that
of a guy.
This movie really...
made concrete?
Yes. Rest in peace, Jim.
Yeah.
He's buried in Lexington, Kentucky. We should go visit.
If we were even anywhere nearby.
Yeah.
We're not. All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Please subscribe and rate on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at WDWKW74 or email us at WDWKW74@gmail.com.
Hi, Andrew Jemetzko here. If you like what you've been listening to and want to help, point your cursor or fiddly digits to patreon.com/Jemetzko. Tossing a few coins in our direction helps keep me fed with food and drink. I mean, what else during those long editing sessions? What's Patreon, you ask? Well, it's kind of like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter sort of thing. So why not lend us a hand? It'll surely help. Editing's a full-time job. That's patreon.com/Jemetzko. GIMETZCO. Thanks a ton.